Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Chav Zayin. This is Elisha Graf filling in for Rabbi Leibowitz, who is departing today to spend a month in Camp Keli. I do believe he'll be giving the daf shir at some point during the day when he's away in camp, and consequently will be posting his shir on YU Torah. And I will be posting my shir, which is given here in the morning at BKNW, on YU Torah as well. I highly recommend that if Rabbi Leibowitz is posting his shir, that you listen to his shir. In the event he hasn't posted, you're welcome to listen to this, whatever your preference. But he should be posting most days. Today may be an exception, because I think he's traveling up this morning. Today's shir here in North Woodmere is being sponsored by Shragi Brill, the Lechava, the yard site of his grandmother, Yerla Bas Avram, whose yard site was observed yesterday. The Neshama should have an aliyah. We thank Shragi very much for the sponsorship. Today we'll be finishing up the second perek of the Masechta, and we're going to continue discussing a bunch of cases of what happens if somebody throws something down from a rooftop and somebody else comes and damages the thing, or what happens if the Gemara has some wild cases. What happens if somebody throws a baby down from a rooftop and there is no cushioning, so the baby is ultimately going to die, and somebody comes with a sword and catches the baby with the tip of the sword and thereby killing the baby? Is that person who catches the baby with a sword chayev? That's going to lead to a discussion of, are you chayev for merely hastening somebody's death, or are you chayev only if you fully kill somebody? The Gemara is going to talk about what happens if wild cases. What happens if somebody jumps from a roof and when he lands on the ground is bowl a woman? Can he be kona his yavama that way? Is he chayev in nezek tsar ripui shevis and boshes if he does that? Really wild cases. The Gemara, the perek is then going to conclude. The next perek is going to talk all about Talmudic right of way. What happens if somebody leaves something in the middle of the public thoroughfare? What happens if somebody else comes along and damages that thing? Is the person who walked into the jug that was left in the middle of a thoroughfare liable for damaging it? Is the Baal HaChavis chayev for any damage that it causes to the person who walks into it? So on and so forth. And then on the bottom of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to get into an interesting discussion of is vigilante justice permitted in the times of the Gemara? So in the words of the Gemara, it's if a person is allowed to be avid dina lenafshei, is a person allowed to take matters into his own hands and basically affect self-help before going to Beis Din and getting a psak from Beis Din as to what the halach is and what he's able to do, what his rights are. And we'll see, the answer is going to depend on the specific circumstances that a person finds himself in. So we left off yesterday on Chav Vav Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud, at the Amar Rabba, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. V'yamar, second word on the line. V'yamar Rabba. So Zarak Kli Merosh Hagag. If a person who owns a kli throws the kli off of the roof, uba acher v'shivro b'makal, and somebody else comes and he smashes the kli with a stick, then putter, then the fellow who came and smashed the kli with a stick, which was in its trajectory from the rooftop on the way down to the ground, is going to be putter. My taima, why is the guy putter? After all, the guy took a baseball bat and he smashed the kli, he smashed the piece of pottery with a baseball bat. So the Gemara says, mana tvira tavar, because the guy broke a kli that halachically was already broken, because the bala kli chucked the kli off the top of the roof. There was no cushioning on the ground. It was inevitable that the kli was going to break when the kli would hit the ground anyway. So the fellow who came with a baseball bat and smashed the kli moments before it hit the ground is going to be putter, because the kli was considered to be a broken kli. It would have broken inevitably anyway. The Amar Rabba, another statement of Rabba, Zarak, slightly different case. Zarak kli merosh hagag. Now it's the mazik who comes, and he throws a kli from the top of a roof. It's not the bala kli who throws the kli, rather it's the mazik comes and throws, the Reuven comes and throws Shimon's kli off the top of the roof. However, unlike in the prior case, in this case, there were actually blankets and pillows on the ground on the side of the building. And so presumably when the kli would hit the ground, it would not break because of all of the soft blankets and pillows that were on the ground. Now, ba acher visilkan. Now, let's say Levi comes and removes the blankets and the pillows from the landing spot. O kadam visilkan. Or if Reuven, who had chucked Shimon's kli off of the top of the roof, then runs down, say he's a very fast runner, so he sprints down to ground level, and before the kli manages to hit the ground on the karim and ksasos, on the blankets and the pillows, Reuven himself removes the blankets and the pillows from right near the building. Putter, then he is going to be putter. Now this is a very curious case. Why in the world should Reuven be putter for throwing the kli off of the top of the roof, if he then is going to run down to the ground level and remove the karmic ksasos from where the kli is going to land? So my taima. So what? Why is he putter? So the Gemara says, well, beidna deshadia psuke mifsak girei. Because what's he going to be chayav for? At the time that he threw the kli from the top of the roof, he would have been putter. Why? Because there's something there which is stopping his arrows. What does it mean? It means Sharei Mizrikoso, Rashi says, Ain Sofo Li Shaver Ad Sheyinat Lua Karim. That because initially when the kli is thrown off of the rooftop, it's not Sofo Lishbar, it's not inevitable that it's going to break, because you have the Karim and Ksosos there. Now, okay, good, so he's not Chayev for throwing the kli off of the rooftop, but why in the world is the guy not Chayev for pulling the blankets and the pillows away from where the kli is going to land? And Rashi continues and explains, Vizesha Natala Karim. And the person who takes the cushioning away from the building, Vafilu Azorek Atzmo Nutlan Putter, and even the Zorek himself who takes them away is going to be Putter. Why? Rashi says, very important halacha, very important rule by Nezikin, the Grumma Benezikin Have, because it's only a Grumma Benezikin. In other words, it's not a direct Hezek, it's an indirect Hezek. Why is it an indirect Hezek? Because the direct Hezek is actually chucking the Kli off the top of the roof. The indirect Hezek was removing the cushioning that would have otherwise prevented the Kli from breaking. That's not considered to be a direct Hezek, that's an indirect Hezek. Grumma Medezikin is putter, and therefore, ironically, says Rashi, the halacha would be, even if it's the same guy who threw it and who removed the karim and ksasos from the landing spot, he would still be putter. He's putter from the throwing, because at the time that he threw it, it wasn't going to break, and he's putter from dragging the blankets away, because that's only considered to be a grumma benezikin. That's an indirect hezek. Says Rabba, the next halacha, five lines down from the bottom of the Amud now. So Vyama Rabba, Zorak Tinok Merosh Hagag. If a person threw a child down from the top of a roof, Uba Acher Vekiblo Basayef, and another guy comes and he, instead of catching the baby with his hands or with a net, he decides he's going to catch the baby on the tip of a sword, and he thereby kills the baby. So Plukta de Rav Yudah ben Beseira v'Rabbanan. So the Gemara says that now we enter a machlokes of Rav Yudah ben Beseira and the Rabbanan. The Tanya, we learn like this. We learn in the Braisa. Hiko Asara b'nei Adam be'Asara makolos. Let's say you have a gang beating administered. So 10 people are beating away at one person with 10 different sticks. Bein babas achas, bein bezachar zeh. Whether they wail on the guy at once or whether they hit him one after the other consecutively. So says the Gemara, kulan peturin. They're all putter. So they're all putter. So if you look in Rashi, it says, Debi'inan tap Rashi on the Amud, Chavzayin Amud Aleph, Debi'inan sheyake kol nefesh adam, kol nefesh, because it says yake kol nefesh, meaning that you have to be the one who's solely responsible for the murder, the ein kan make kol nefesh. And over here in this scenario, you don't have a single person who's responsible for killing the entire victim. Why? Because they're all hitting him at the same time, or even when they're hitting him one after the other, the reason that the guy dies, the reason that the victim dies, is the cumulative effect of the beating. It's not on account of the beating of any one person. So that's what the Chachamim's shita is. Now, it should be noted that Tosfos says the situation is where each of the people hit him. So Rav Yehuda ben Beseira Omer. So Rav Yehuda ben Beseira then says, so Bezachar Zeh, that if it's Bezachar Zeh, if you're going to kill him, if you're going to hit him rather, Bezachar Zeh, consecutively, then Achron Chayev, then the last one is going to be Chayev, Memnesha Kirev Misaso. Because the last one hastened his death. However, if it was all simultaneously, then you're right, and Echanami, they're all going to be putter, because we don't know which one is Kirev. We don't know which one is Kirev Misaso. Tosfa says that the situation is where each of the people hit him hard enough to kill the victim, but the victim didn't die until the beating was over. So in that case, where they hit him simultaneously, no one is going to be chayiv, because we don't know who killed him. And when they hit him consecutively, according to Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, the first nine people are going to be putter, because after all, they didn't kill him. Now, the last guy killed him. He didn't kill the whole person. It's obviously, he did kill the whole person, but he's not solely responsible for killing the person. He only finished the job that everybody else started. So according to the Chachamim, we say that you need the Yakek Kol Nefesh, even the last one is going to be putter. But according to Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, who doesn't learn the drasha that you have to be Yakek Kol Nefesh, he'll say that the last person is going to be chayav for killing. Why? Because Rav Yehuda ben Beseira is going to say that when it says in the pasuk Kol Nefesh Adam, it doesn't mean the Kol Nefesh, the entire person. It means if you are responsible for killing any of a person. How could you respond? How could you be responsible for killing any of a person? You either kill somebody or you don't. But what we see from this case is that Rav Yehuda ben Beseira would say that if you administer the last of 10 blows to somebody, because you ultimately finished him off, because you were the one who was ultimately responsible for killing him, that is enough to make you chayiv. Now, again, bringing it back to the case in the Gemara that we started with, you have a person who throws a baby off a rooftop, and another person comes and catches the baby on the tip of a sword. Now, when the baby was thrown off the rooftop, again, we're dealing in a case where there's no cushioning on the side of the building, so when the baby was thrown off the rooftop, it was inevitable that the baby was going to die. The person who caught the baby with the tip of a sword merely hastened the baby's death. So now, Rabbah who says that we follow the beginning of the Nezek process, of the Nezikin process, would say that the guy who caught the baby with the tip of a sword is putter, because the Tinok is considered to be dead from the outset. But Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, who says that you're responsible for killing Kol Nefesh, for killing any of a person, would hold that you'd be chayiv, because you're hastening the person's death. Okay, now different case. Boshar the Kiblo Bekarnav. Let's say, instead of a man coming and catching the baby with the tip of a sword, let's say a shor comes, let's say an ox comes, and we're dealing with a shor muad comes, and catches the baby with the tip of its horn. So plukta de Rabbi Shmuel benosha Rav Yochanan ben Broka d'vrabanan. So that's a machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel benosha Rav Yochanan ben Broka and the Chachamim. In what respect? So like this. The Tanya we learn in a brisa. V'nason pidyon nafsho. It says v'nason pidyon nafsho. Demei nizak, that we evaluate the damages that one pays, that the mazik pays, by the value of the nizak. And Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka amar demei mazik. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka will say that we evaluate with demei mazik. Now, what happened over here? So now we're talking about the inyan of kofar that the shor ha'muad has to pay if a shor ha'muad actually kills somebody. Now, over here, the shor ha'muad killed someone, but who did it kill? It killed a baby that was in flight from the rooftop down to the ground, where it was inevitable that the baby was going to die. Now, if a kofar is chayiv to be paid, Now, whether you actually have to pay the kofar is going to be tolu yana machlokes. When we value the kofar, when we assess the kofar, do we evaluate the kofar based on the domain nizak or the domain mazik? If we're going to evaluate the kofar based on the domain mazik, fine. So the shorah mu'ad has a value. The shorah mu'ad is chayef to pay kofar because the shorah mu'ad killed somebody. So the shorah mu'ad is going to pay kofar based on the appropriate value. If, however, we're going to assess the kofar penalty based on the domain nizak, who's the nizak? The nizak here is the baby that's in the middle of falling from the roof to the ground where the baby is inevitably going to be killed. Therefore, the baby doesn't have any value because the baby is ultimately going to be killed anyway. And therefore, when the shorah mu'ad comes and catches the baby on the tip of its horn, even though in a chanami it would be chayiv technically to pay kofar, there is no kofar to be paid because we're shaman b'dmei nizik, and over here the nizik has no value. Says the Gemara. Next case, they get even crazier. V'yama Rava. Nafal mirosh agag. If a person falls from a rooftop, v'nitka b'isha, and he lands in a woman, he lands inside a woman, so he commits an unintentional, he commits an unintentional act of bia. Should be noted, Rashi points out that we're dealing with a case where there was a ruach mitsuya. The guy was standing on the roof, and a wind came and blew him off the roof, and he happened to have landed on a woman and committed an act of bia. But Rashi says we have to be based on the Gemara's assessment of whether he's going to be chayev in dalad dvarim or whether he's going to be putter. It's obvious that we're dealing with a case where we're only dealing with a case where there was a ruach mitsuya, where the wind that blew him off the rooftop was a common wind. But if it's a ruach sheina mitsuya, let's say the guy's standing on his roof and unexpectedly out of the blue a gale force wind comes and blows him off the roof, that he's not going to be chayav for, says Rashi. Why? Because that is not karev lemezid. A ruach mitsuya is karev lemezid. He should have taken care. He shouldn't have stood right by the side of the roof. But by a ruach sheina mitsuya, then he's not going to be chayev. The Rashba says, also, the only time we can be mechayev, the person who falls from the roof and commits this unintentional act of bia, is when the woman was positioned on the ground before the guy fell off the roof. So the woman was there. He should have realized that the woman was there. He should have taken care not to stand right at the corner of the roof. But if at the time that the guy was on the corner of the roof, the woman wasn't there yet, so says the Rashba, how are you going to be mechayev the guy for falling off the roof and committing this unintentional act of bia? That's not fair. But in any event, back to the Gemara, back to this case. So nafal mirosh agag v'nitka b'isha. The guy fell off the corner, fell off the top of the roof, and he lands inside a woman. He commits an unintentional act of bia. Chayev b'dalad varim. He's chayev and dalad varim for causing damage. Uviyavimto lo kona. But he's not kone his yavama. So why is he not kone his yavama? Says Rashi, he's not kone his yavama because even though we don't require Kavana, even though we say in Maseches Yevamos that if a person is baal is Yevama, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid kana, that's only when he was miskaving to have an act of bia. Here the guy wasn't even miskaving to have an act of bia. So when the guy's not miskaving to have an act of bia, even says Rashi, or Rashi explaining the Gemara, says that he's not going to be kona as Yevama. Now what's he chayev him? We said he was chayev in dalad varm. So chayev b'nezek, b'tsar, b'ripui u'b'sheves. He's chayev in ezek tzar ripui sheves. What about boshes? There are really five things, not only four things. Avo boshes lo, but he's not chayev in boshes. Tznan ein chayev ala boshes achiye miskaven. He's not chayev in boshes until he's miskaven. In other words, if he was actually miskaven to have this unintentional, to have this act of bia, then he'd be chayev in boshes. But what's boshes? Boshes is a payment for embarrassing somebody. You can only be chayev in boshes when you have kavana to embarrass somebody. This guy didn't have kavana because he wasn't thinking about what he was doing at all. Therefore, he's not going to be chayev in boshes. Now, next case. V'yamar Rabba, Len Rabba says, Nafal mirosh agag beruach she'ena mitsuya. Let's say the guy fell off the roof with a ruach she'ena mitsuya, with an uncommonly strong wind, v'hizik ubiyesh. And he damaged the woman that he fell onto, and he also embarrassed her. Now, chayev al nezek upater bedalad varim. He's going to be chayev on nezek because adam muad liolam upater bedalad varim, and he's going to be putter, and he's going to be putter on sar ripui sheves and boshes because he is not karov lemezid. In other words, because he should not have expected that he was in a position where he may have fallen off a roof and caused damage to somebody. But beruach mitsuya v'hizik ubiyesh, if it was a ruach mitsuya and he caused damage and he was mevayesh, then chayev b'dalad dvarim, then he's going to be chayev on the nezek, of course, and he's also going to be chayev on dalad dvarim. Nezek included in the dalad dvarim. Upater ala boshes. But he's going to be putter on Boshes again, because as we just said, he didn't intend to inflict the injury, even though it was a Ruach Mitsuya, and therefore he's Karov Lemezid, and therefore he's Chayev and Nezek Tsar and Ripui and Sheves, because he should have taken care that he not place himself in a position where he can fall off the roof. Still, he's not going to be Chayev and Boshes, because the bottom line is that he's only Chayev and Boshes, if he actually intends to cause the person Busha. It's only if he intends to be Mavayish the person. And this at least was an unintentional act, even though he fell on account of a Ruach Mitsuya. Now, Al Bigdov and Israf, says the next case. V'im Nishapech Chayev Afala Boshes. Now, let's say that the guy falls off the roof, and mid-flight, while he's falling to the ground, he sees the woman lying under him. So he actually flips himself over during his fall and positions himself so that when he lands right on top of the woman and he commits this act of bia. Well, then he's going to be chayiv because now we had said again the whole premise for him not being chayiv and boshes was that it was an unintentional act. But if the guy is consciously flipping himself and arranging his body so as to ensure that he actually is committing this act of bia when he lands, then it's an intentional act. He's going to be chayev boshes on an intentional act. Tanya, imashma shenemar v'shulcha yada eini yodea shechzika. From the fact that it says, so the pasuk, so what's the pasuk over here? So the pasuk over here says, it's talking about when two people fight, and the wife of one of them comes to save her husband from the fight. Now v'shulcha yada v'chzika b'mavushav, and we're talking about a case where the woman comes and she grabs one of the guys by his erva. So it says in the pasuk v'shulcha yada v'chzika, that she extends her hand and she grabs. And she grasps. So Maltama Lomar Vechzika. So says the Gemara, what does the Pasuk need to tell me Vechzika? It already says Veshulcha Yada, so I understand what that means. So Lomalacha Kivan Shiniskavin Lahazik, to tell you that once you are miskavin to do damage, Afal Pi Shalon Iskavin Levayesh, even though you're not miskavin to be Mavayesh, you are going to be Chayev in Boshes. So just like the woman didn't intend to embarrass him, the woman just wanted to free her husband from the fight. But because she intended to be mazik, therefore she's chayev afala busha here too. Even though the guy didn't necessarily intend to embarrass the woman who he landed on, but because it was an intentional act, he definitely did intend the bia, because he positioned himself, therefore he's going to be chayev even on the boshes. V'yama Rabba says the next case, he niach lo gachalas alibo umeis, putter. Let's say there's a guy just lying there, and somebody else comes and puts a burning coal on his chest, and the fellow never removes the burning coal from his chest, and he dies. So the guy who puts the coal on his chest is going to be putter, says the Gemara. Why? Rashi says, because the nizak should have removed the coal from his chest. We're not dealing with a case where the guy is bound up and he's tied and he's unable to move. The guy has free use of his hands. Somebody else comes and puts a burning coal on your chest. Don't be an idiot. Remove the coal from your chest and prevent yourself from dying. Now, Al Bigdov and Israf, however, let's say he puts it on the guy's coat and the guy's coat gets burnt, then chayiv. Then he's going to be chayiv. So why is he going to be chayiv? So says Rashi, the hadalo solka, the fact that the fellow didn't remove the coal from his jacket, savar atvinu lebedina v'ifrali. He thought, rightfully so, that there's no need to remove the coal from his jacket, because he figured, let the coal do its damage, and then I'll be taveyam bedin, and he'll be chayiv to pay me. And says the Gemara, that's a perfectly acceptable attitude. While you are obligated, you're responsible to prevent yourself from being killed, because somebody's not going to be chayiv for killing you if it was within your power to save yourself. It is perfectly within your right to permit damage to occur to your object and not save your object from being damaged, so that the mazik should be chayiv in paying you the damage. That's perfectly acceptable, says the Gemara. So Amar Rava. So Rava says, this is no great chiddush. Tarvayu tanini. So we learn both of these already. How? Alibo detnan, we learn in a Mishnah. Kaba shalav lesocha ar o lesocha mayim. If a person pushes somebody into fire or into water, bene yachol lalos mishamu meis, and the person is not able to escape and he dies, then chayiv, then the guy who pushed them there, the guy who put him in that position is going to be chayiv. Dachva latocha or olatocha mayim, if however you push somebody into fire or into water, the yachol lalos mishamu meis, and he's able to escape, but the guy just doesn't make any effort to escape, then you're going to be potter. Why? Because you are not chayiv for, quote, killing somebody if it was perfectly within the person's power to escape death. And bigdo ditnam, we also learned the case of beged ditnam, because we learn in the Mishnah that karas ksuso, if a person rips his clothing, shavar es kado, or if he damages, he breaks his jug, then he's going to be chayiv. So, kares ksusi, if a guy says, hey, rip my coat, or shavar es kli, break my jug, then chayiv, then even though the mazik was acting at the direction of the nizak, he is still going to be chayiv. So, and Tosfos says, kal v'chomer, where the guy didn't instruct that the coal be placed on his jacket, the mazik is certainly going to be chayiv, because madach, if when you give an instruction to damage your kli, the mazik is going to be chayiv, where you didn't give an instruction to damage the kli, but merely just refrain from removing the coal from the kli, then certainly the mazik is going to be chayiv. Amanas liftar potter. However, if the guy says, hey, I'm for some reason a sadist and I want you to rip my clothing, and you're going to be putter for ripping my clothing. Now, if you receive an invitation to rip somebody's clothing and the guy then specifies that you're going to be putter for doing so, then in fact you're putter from doing so. Boy Rabba, Haniach Kacheles al Lev Avdo Mahu. Let's say you place the coal on the heart of your slave. So on the chest of your slave. Samahu, weird question. Kagufo dummy, is it considered like a person? O kamamono dummy, or is the slave considered to be like your object? And remember, we said that if you put the coal on the chest of a person, and the person's capable of removing the coal, then you're going to be putter because you didn't kill him. The person should have removed the coal. If he has a din of mamon, and you put a coal on an object, then you're going to be chayav for damaging the object. Simtim salam or kagufo dummy, and if you want to say that the evid is considered to be like gufo, it has the same halacha as damaging a person. So shoro mahu, what happens if you put the coal on a shor? So is it considered to be that you're killing a living being, or is it considered to be that you're damaging property? So hadar pashta avdo kagufo shoro kumamono. Later on, we established that avdo is kagufo, that and if you put the gacheles on the chest of the eved, he's going to be putter. You're going to be putter because the eved should have removed it. And shoros kumamono, putting it on a shor is like putting it on a kli. It's like putting it on your jacket. Why? Because the shor doesn't have the das to remove the coal from himself, and therefore you're going to be chayav for placing the gacheles on the ox. Okay, so Adrenal case at a regal. So this concludes the second parak, and now we begin the third parak, again discussing halachos of right of way in the times of the Gemara. So Aminiach esakad, if a person puts a jug bereshus harabim in a public thoroughfare, uba achar v'nitkalba, and another person comes and stumbles over the jug v'shivra and he breaks it, putter. So the person, the pedestrian is going to be putter because he had the right of way. Vim huzakba, and if the pedestrian is injured in the process of stumbling over the jug and breaking it, balachavis chayev benisko, the balachavis is going to be chayev in nezek. The Gemara is going to explain all of the case, but first the Gemara starts with an apparent inconsistency in the Mishnah. So if you paid attention to the words in the Mishnah, first it said, amaniyach es hakad, and then it said, Vim huzak bal hachavis chayev. So it says the Gemara, Pasuk bechad v'sayin bechavis. We started talking about a jug, and then we finished talking about a barrel. So first we talk about kad, then we talk about chavis. So why do we change up the case in the middle of the Mishnah? It's not Nami, and then we learn later on in the Perek, we're going to be talking about Zeba B'chaviso, a case where one is coming with his barrel, Zeba B'chaviso, and another person is walking with a beam, Nishpara Kado Shelzeh B'chaviso Shelzeh, Putter. And if the kad of the person is broken by the korah of the other person, then the bala korah is going to be putter. And again, Pasak V'chavis V'sayim B'kad. For whatever reason, over there the Mishnah and the Mishnah begins. The Mishnah opens with a case of chavis and closes with a case of kad. So why do we switch up our terminology in the middle of the Mishnah? V'tnan nami zeba b'chaviso shal yayim v'zeba b'kado shal dvash. One guy is coming with his barrel of wine, another guy is walking with his kad, with his jug of dvash. Nistika chavis shal dvash. Then all of a sudden we switch, and instead of talking about a kad shal dvash, we start talking about a chavis shal dvash that is cracked. V'shafach zeh yena v'itzel es the dvash. And the person who's carrying the wine, honey was more expensive than wine in those days. So the person who's carrying the barrel of wine spills out his wine in order to catch the honey and prevent the honey from falling to the ground. He can only charge the Baal Hadvash for his schar, but he can't charge the Baal Hadvash for the value of the wine, because he spilled out the wine on his own volition. Nobody asked him to spill out the wine. He did so himself. But again, Pasak Bekad V'sayim B'chavis. We begin with the terminology of Kad, and then we end with the terminology of Chavis. So why all the inconsistency? So Rapapa, Hainu Kad, Hainu Chavis. You want to know why, says Rapapa? The reason is because it's the same thing. A Kad and a Chavis is the same thing. Lamai Nafkamina. What's the Nafkamina? Lamekach U'memkar. So the Nafkamina is Lamekach. The nafkamina is lamekach u'memkar. So what does it mean? That if somebody agrees to sell a chavis, he could give the buyer a kad, which is smaller and slightly less expensive than a chavis. So says the Gemara, well, hey chidami, how exactly is it that in a case of mekach u'memkar, you could switch out and give somebody a kad instead of a chavis? So if you're talking about a case where you do call them different things, where you would call a kad and a chavis, say if I commit to selling you a kad, how in the world can I give you a chavis? Or a chavis, how in the world can I give you a kad? They have different names. So lo tzricha deruba korele lekada kada, lechavisa chavisa. What says the Gemara, we're talking about in a case where rove of the people call a kad, and they call a chavis, the ikanami de kari lechavisa kada ulechada chavisa. But there's a minority of people who also call a chavis a kad and a kad a chavis. So mao de tema zilbas aruba. I might have thought that if you commit to selling somebody a chavis, that you were following rov b'nei adam, and rov b'nei adam call a chavis and a kad, and therefore you committed on selling a person the larger barrel. Says the Gemara now, chavzayin amabez kamash malon. Not that you can say, no, I only intended to send you the smaller kad. Why? The ein holchin b'mamon achar harov. Why? Because we don't follow a rove by money. Why? So says Tosfos that by dine mamonis, when somebody is in possession of property, a rove is not a sufficient basis for taking the property from him. Now, here the mocher is deemed to be in possession of the item, and he can claim that when he said the word chavis, he intended to sell only a kad. And we can't use the rove, the fact that rove people call a chavis, to take the item, to take the chavis from the mocher. Because by dine mamonis, we don't follow a rove. Tosva says that this works in the reverse as well. That if the agreement was to buy a kad, then the buyer can insist on receiving a chavis instead of a kad. Why? Because now he's in possession of the item. What's the item? The disputed item is the payment. And since he's in possession, he could say, listen, I'm not following the rove. I intended to follow the minority, and when I said kad, I actually intended chavis. The Rishonim are generally bothered here. We're dealing with a case of mekach u'memkar, where somebody agreed to sell something and somebody agreed to buy something. and we're unsure whether what was agreed to be sold and purchased was a chavis or a kad. We already said in the Gemara that a chavis is larger than a kad. So why don't we just look at the price that the two parties agreed to in the transaction? If they agreed to a higher price, obviously they intended the chavis. If they agreed to a lower price, obviously they intended the kad. So the Rishonim explained that we have to be dealing with a scenario where, yeah, there is a difference. In other words, the chavis is bigger than the kad. The chavis might be a little bit more expensive than the kad, but there's not such a significant price differential. Because if there were a significant price differential, why are we shooting in the dark as to what they intended? Let's just look at the transaction price. It's obvious that the transaction price is close enough so that we can't discern what was intended based on the sale price over here. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter now. So the top line, Chav Zayin Amud Bey. So, Ba Acher V'Nitkal Ba V'Shivra Pater. Again, the person... One guy left a jug in the middle of the public street. Another person comes, stumbles over it, and breaks it. The pedestrian is going to be putter. Says the Gemara, "Am I putter? Why is he putter? He should have been looking where he was going." So that we're dealing with a case where the person who put the jugs in the Rishus HaRabim didn't only put one jug in the Rishus HaRabim, he lined the entire Rishus HaRabim with jugs. And really, a person is expected to watch where he was going. But over here, his access to the thoroughfare was blocked. He had no choice. He was walking in the middle of the street. The guy lined the entire street, the entire width of the street with jugs. Therefore, the pedestrian was entitled to, as the right-of-way is entitled to, just walk and break the chavios. So Shmuel says, yeah, you're right. Generally, a person is expected to watch where he was going. But, we're talking about a case where it was nighttime or it was dark, and therefore the person could not see where he was going. Rabbi Yochanan Amar became Rav Yochanan says, yes, generally a person is expected to watch where he was going, but the person placed the jug right around the corner, right around the bend. So yeah, even though a person is expected to watch where he was going, this sort of just happened on the person right away, unexpectedly. Samra Papa. Lo deka masnisen ela o kishmuel o Rav Yochanan. The Mishnah is best interpreted either like Shmuel or like Rav Yochanan. Why? Di karav, because if the Mishnah is like Rav, so ma'ayri niskal. So why do we talk about a case where the pedestrian comes and trips over the kad and then breaks it? Afilu shavar nami. Even if the pedestrian came and intentionally kicked the kad and broke it, he should also be putter. Why? Because it's prohibited to deny a pedestrian the right of way, and therefore the pedestrian should be allowed even to break the kad intentionally. Our Mishnah, though, is mashma that he's putter only because he stumbled over the kad unintentionally. Now, why is it meduyak like Rav and Shmuel? It's meduyak like Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, rather, because by Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, the pedestrian would not have had the right to smash the kad intentionally, because according to them, we're not dealing with a case where the entire right of way was blocked. The guy only put one kad in the middle of the street, but according to Rav, it should have been the halacha that he's potter even if he breaks them intentionally. So Rav Zvid Mishmei Derava Hu Adin Dafilu Shavar. Yes, you're right. It is the case that even if the guy would have broken them intentionally, he would have been potter. In that case, why do we talk about it? Why do we talk about a case of shogeg vaydiktani nitkal? And why do we talk about a case where he trips over it? Aidi deboy lamasti seifa, because in the seifa where we say vim huzak ba balachaves chayev benisko, because in the seifa we had said that if the pedestrian, as he stumbles over the jug and breaks it, if he's injured, the Bala Chavis is going to be Chayev in his Nezek. That's only the Dafka Niskal. That's Dafka where the pedestrian tripped over the Kad. Aval Shavar Lo. However, if he purposely broke it, then the Bala Chavis is not going to be Chayev in the Nezek that the shards caused the pedestrian. Why? My Taima, who Dazek Anafshe? Because he damaged himself. In other words, while he is permitted to break the kad in order to create for himself a right of way, the Bala Kad is not going to be Chayev for any damage that the kad caused the pedestrian when the pedestrian purposely kicked the kad and broke it. So Ktani Reisha, so it's therefore Ktani Reisha Niskal. Zermalei Rav Abba l'Ravashi. So says Rav Abba to Ravashi. Hachi Ami b'Marava. This is what they said in Eretz Yisrael. Mishmei d'Rav Ula. Lafisha ein darkon shel bnei adam lizbonein bedrachim. That the reason that the person is potter is because a person cannot be expected to watch out where he's going. So in other words, according to Rashi, Rav Ula here is disputing the Gemara's premise that people are expected to watch where we walk. So Tosfa says, interestingly, that it's only people who walk upright, who are therefore looking ahead of them, are not expected to look down on the ground and watch exactly where they're walking. However, animals who walk on all fours and therefore look down, they are expected to watch where they're walking because they're literally looking at the ground when they walk. Havi Uvda ben Arda, there was a case in Arda, v'chayev Shmuel, and Shmuel was mechayev a person for breaking a kad, b'pumpadisa v'chayev, and in pumpadisa and also v'chayev rava. So bishlama Shmuel kishmaitse. Well, I understand why Shmuel was mechayev, because Shmuel explained in our Mishnah, the only reason why the guy was putter was because it was dark, and therefore he couldn't see where he was going. But if it would have been light, then he would have been chayev. Ela rava lema kishmuel, but according to Rava, should we say that he holds like Shmuel? Samara papa sakarna dat sartahave. In that case, the person put the cod right by the corner by the public olive press. Tekivan derbershuskav the iboyle liune umezel. Because over there, because people are very commonly put jugs near the corner of the public olive press, Dafka over there, the person should have watched out where he was going. However, generally speaking, in a Hanami, we would not expect a person to watch where he was going. All right, so we'll pick up from here more on rights of way tomorrow.